This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Ramadan 360. Every Tuesday this month, we've been having bonus fatwa nights with Sheikh Waleed Bisyuni, who is our president at Al Maghrib Institute. He's also our senior scholar. He's on the board of AMJA, the American Muslim Jurist Association. And this is his specialty, alhamdulillah, is to be able to give us fiqh and responses to some of our heaviest questions for the month of Ramadan, some of the things that come up every year and things that, you might have unique situations pop up in your ibadah and then in your family situation and in the way that the month kind of plays out for you. Sheikh Waleed is joining us in just a second, but just a reminder of the rules for fatwa nights. One is that you need to be in the Al Maghrib or the Ramadan 360 portal. You need to be registered in order to submit your questions. So if you're coming in on Facebook or YouTube, please make sure that you guys have registered. There is a form, a Google form available on your portal, and that's where you submit your questions. I'm going to drop the link to the form here in the chat, inshallah, as well, so that you guys can click through and submit any questions if you haven't had a chance to do so already. If you submitted questions in the past, as long as they were on topic, as long as they were clear, concise, and didn't have too much personal information, they have been saved for the fatwa night today. If you don't hear a response today for them, just check back, because we do have recordings for three previous sessions and they may have been responded to already. On the odd occasion, if their question keeps coming up again and again, I might repeat a question or repeat a concept that we've already covered, but just to be mindful of everyone's time and to try to get through as much of them as possible, I try to make sure that we don't go through too many repeat questions. Yes, Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen, Jazakumullah Khair Minallah for your du'as. And yes, please keep Sheikh Waleed in your du'as. I know this has been a bit more of a difficult Ramadan for him. He had a surgery just before the month, so it's been challenging. So please keep him and his family in your du'as, but specifically his health as well. And let me just drop this form link for you guys back here on Zoom. Once again, mashallah, we have had about 100 questions submitted since the last fatwa night. So we're going to be busy, but I've been filtering through them. There are a lot that have been answered already. And again, if someone is willing to help out just to compile some of the questions and the answers that we already submitted, that would be super beneficial. I know some of you guys are amazing note takers. That would come in clutch, inshallah. Of course, before we begin, I do want to thank the amazing folks that make these experiences possible. In the US, we have Helping Hands for Relief and Development. In Canada, we have Islamic Relief. And in the UK, we have Forgotten Women, who are doing essential work on the ground to support the most underprivileged and the most needy Muslims in our community. So communities worldwide. So please do support them generously. And I'll drop the links in the chat, inshallah, when I get a second here. And on social media, you guys have the link in the description box, inshallah. And of course, please do, as you're going through the last 10 nights, especially if you've been meaning to. I think there's a statistic that like 80% of Muslims donate, or the 80% of donations come in through the last 10 nights. So a lot of us want to get that extra ajr. I can't blame you at all. But if you have been waiting to make your giving during this time, please make sure that you do consider supporting Al Maghrib as well, so that we can continue this programming and so much of the essential work that we do throughout the year to support the community and make sure that we can kind of break barriers and improve the quality of our content, to hire more staff members, to be able to make sure that even the students that we have get an even more excellent experience, and that we can educate, inshallah, 1 million Muslims in the next 20 years. So far, in this past 20, we've done 215,000 students have taken our classes, have benefited from our experiences, have graduated, have gone on to become community leaders and scholars and so much more. So please do make your contribution towards that dawah, inshallah. That link is almaghrib.org/donate. I think the Sheikh has been trying to come into the session. I saw him coming up. I think I see you, Sheikh, a couple of times. Let's see. Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh Waleed. Hopefully you can hear me. Let me know if you can, inshallah.
Bismillah. I cannot hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yes. Yes.
I cannot hear you at all.
Okay. Let's see. Why would that be?
No. Okay. Now I can hear you.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. That's the easiest troubleshooting I've ever done.
Alhamdulillah.
How are you doing, Sheikh? How are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah. I'm doing good. Alhamdulillah. Allahumma laka alhamd ya Rabb. Tonight is the beginning of the last 10 nights of Ramadan.
This is.
And I'm excited about it. Alhamdulillah. You know, Hafsa, there is a narration that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was shown the average lifespan of his ummah, mm-hmm. and he found that it's a short. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said most of people die in the 60s and 70s. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sad. And the sadness of this is not because people live shorter period of time. There's no sadness over missing this dunya for the believers. For the believer, this dunya is, it means nothing, because it means nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the sadness was for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was worried that they don't live long enough to make good deeds that will make them earn high place in Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to make it up for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he told him about Laylatul Qadr. So he want to make the Prophet happy for his ummah and to bless this ummah. So that's why Laylatul Qadr is like more than 1,000 months of living. More. A lot of people said 1,000 is actually more. People say 83 years. No, it's more than 83 years of ibadah. Just been added to your life every year. That's why some of the Karazi, he said, and whoever witnessed Laylatul Qadr, as if he lived centuries.
Well, I didn't even think about that, that it added to your life for so many years. That's like some people are thousands of years old in their good deeds.
And in this night, I just want to say this before we start answering the questions. I was telling my community early in Salat al-Dhuhr, if I give you 10 keys and I tell you one of these keys will open this safe, and inside this safe, millions of dollars and gifts and stuff like that. 10 keys. Let me see. This one looks nice. Different colors, different shapes. Let me try this one. I take the one that I picked, then I take the rest and throw them in the ocean or in the river. Would that make any sense to anyone?
Not at all.
What you should do, you should try every key until you open. And that's exactly it, al-Qadr. Oh, I'll do 23rd, I'll do 27th, I'll do 25th. Why? You have all the keys with you. Try every one of them until, and I guarantee you, if you do all the 10 nights, Laylatul Qadr is one of them. So I hope that's something that starts strong from tonight. Make sure that you commit it. Make sure that you're there. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us our deeds.
I mean, jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. Alhamdulillah, I was saying this is, it's so blessed that we have this session right before the last 10 nights. I know for the Brits and the Singaporeans, and it's a little bit into it, but alhamdulillah, timing is perfect so that we can make sure.
And Australia, it's already the second night.
Yeah. So they.
I always tell people who call me and they're so stressed about the world's going to come to an end tonight or today. I said, don't worry, it's already tomorrow in Australia.
We're not ready for your joke shift. Is that okay? That's actually a really powerful analogy. I think that we do a lot of complicated math sometimes as Muslims trying to figure out which night it is. The best odds that you have is to hit all 10. May Allah accept all of your ibadah during the first 10. I mean, all right, Sheikh. So we have questions on questions on questions. We have this, we have zakah
situation and everything. Jump right into it.
Bismillah, bismillah. Alrighty, so let me jump back into the sheet. Once again, those who are attending, questions are submitted via a private Google Q&A form that is linked in your portal. I'll drop it once again in the chat in a second. Please make sure you're submitting them through there. We are not able to take questions from the chat, otherwise it gets way too hectic, and we want to honor those who did submit their questions earlier or on time. So the form is right there. Bismillah, the first question that I have pending is, I lost my color. The first question is, I began fasting overseas in Pakistan on Thursday, March 23rd, 2023. However, I had to travel back to the U.S. around Zuhur time on March 26th, which was Sunday morning. So I didn't fast that day and the following day, Monday, which is the 27th. I arrived in the U.S. Monday afternoon around Asr time. How many fasts will I have to make up for this year?
The days that you missed in traveling. So whatever days that you missed during your traveling, that's the days that you have to make it up. If it's, I think it's 2 days, he's saying.
Yes, he said he was traveling on Sunday and on Monday and didn't fast those 2 days. So he doesn't have to worry about time differences or this and that, which time Sahur was. Okay.
No.
That makes it easy. The next question is, Jibreel Islam cursed the person who enters the blessed month of Ramadan and lets it pass by without gaining forgiveness. My question is, how do we know that we've been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
He didn't curse. He said, may Allah distance a person who the month of Ramadan comes and his or her sin are not forgiven. We will know that in the Day of Judgment, that our sin forgiven in that year or not. But the hadith is, it doesn't necessarily mean that all your sin forgiven, but at least that you receive some portion of forgiveness. Like somebody who doesn't receive any type of forgiveness, that person must be very bad. Because fasting will cause forgiveness. Praying will cause forgiveness. Laylatul Qadr cause forgiveness. Sadaqah cause forgiveness. Dhikr cause forgiveness. And so forth. So there are so many things you do. Reading Quran cause forgiveness. So that's absolutely, somehow you'll be forgiven. The competition is, or the invitation is to make sure that all your sins are forgiven. That's the true winners. And that happened by doing your best and putting your effort and maximize your effort. There is a sign of acceptance and forgiveness. Some of the signs that you feel that you're interested to do more. Any one of the signs of good deeds been accepted, that you are excited about the next good deeds to do. Al-hasana, taqud ila al-hasana. Good deeds lead to another good deed. One of it is the hate of the sins, that you don't want to go back to it. You dislike it. One of it is to feel that, humility inside your heart and guilt, that it does lead you to change the course of your life. It's a sign of forgiveness because you become light. Sins make you heavy. And when you're forgiven, you feel light. When you have so much weight and you lose weight, or you have weak muscles and you have strong muscles, what happened? Exercise became easy. Running became easy. Walking became easy. Lifting weight became easier. Because you lost that weight and you gained that muscles. So the same thing. You lost that sense that's so heavy in your shoulder. So the ibadah became much easier. These are all signs of forgiveness and acceptance. Now.
Beautiful. The next question is, is there zakat on gold dental work? I have two gold crowns. Gold was chosen as the better material due to my issue of clenching the teeth while sleeping.
No zakat on that.
No? Okay. The next question is, what is the appropriate window of time to pray Maghrib after Iftar? Must Maghrib be offered right away after a quick breaking of the fast? Or is it okay to eat plus 30 minutes then offer Maghrib?
There's no zakat on the dental because this is something you've been used, like you're using it. So the second question, can you repeat it?
Yes. It's, what is the appropriate window of time to pray Maghrib after Iftar? Must it be offered right away after a quick breaking of the fast? Or can you eat properly for 30 minutes and then go offer Maghrib?
I mean, if you wait 30 minutes, still the time is until Isha. But you try not to make it too late.
Is it a preference that you eat first and that you pray, or is
if you're hungry, eat. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to be able to focus in your salah, but also if you eat and you cannot focus in salah because you ate too much, that's also not good. So sometimes people, what they do, they eat soup or drink soup and dates and sambusa, pakora, whatever, in the beginning. Then after that, they go pray, then you come to do the full meal. Or you can eat the rice and the biryani and the macaroni and the mulukhiya and the hummus and the falafel and everything you want. Then after maybe 30 minutes, you finish, you pray. And alhamdulillah, you can do that, that's fine.
Perfect. The next question is, can you pay your zakat money to help someone for paying their utilities and gas bills?
If they are poor and cannot offer that, yes, you can give them the money to help them with paying stuff like that. Because that's some necessities of life. So if they cannot fulfill that, that means they are very poor.
Sounds good. The next question is, should a breastfeeding woman try to fast and see if her milk production and body can handle it, or is she not required to try?
I mean, she try if that's will be safe for her, she should fast. If it's not safe for the milk and not good for the milk, she should not fast.
The next question is, does using a humidifier with just water break the fast?
Yes, that's not allowed to use during the siyam fast.
Okay, that's actually a good question. I didn't think of that. The next question is, a person does a sin, he feels guilty and seeks for repentance again and again and feels so bad about it. And a few days later, he commits it again and realizes his fault and is ashamed and seeks for repentance again. He is in continuous battle against his nafs. How can he stop himself from the relapse of that sin again?
First, Jazakallah khair or Jazakallah khair for doing that. That's a sign of iman, but a weak iman. But still, this heart has iman in it. That's why they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see the person come back to him no matter how many sins that you commit. Don't ever give up on yourself. But you have to look at what caused the sin. Usually sin comes from associated with time. Like at certain time, I do the sin. Maybe in the late in the night. Maybe when I am hungry. Maybe when I am about to go to sleep. Maybe when I am, my period. Maybe when I am, whatever that sin is. Okay. And also the second thing, location. Where is the sin associated with certain places? Every time I go to this place, I end up doing this. Every time I'm in this, in front of my laptop, I do. When I'm in this place, I do this. So it's associated with a place. Sometimes associated with a certain situation that you're in. For example, friends. When you're on this kind of group of people, you do this. When you watch this, you get this sin. So in this case, you have to stop these areas where the sin comes from. And one of the ibadat, the act of worship, is to push back the shaitan. And every time he beat you, you know where he got you from. And then you close that door. Then he beat you again, and you close the other door. And so on. So that's one of the things that you should work on it and figure out where is the sin coming from? What's the reason? The other area, so that's protection. The other area is nutrition. You have to to be strong. And this is to increase your dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Salaam wa salaam ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Increase your dua. Not istighfar, but dua that Allah protect you from it. Allah give you strong iman. Increase your salah. Increase your reading of the Quran. Increase the amount of time that you spend with good people in the masjid. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from such sin.
The next question is, I had a major abdominal surgery in October, then again in February. Alhamdulillah, the first 2 weeks of Ramadan were manageable, but as it goes on, I'm feeling weaker and starting to experience discomfort / pains. When I spoke to my doctor, she said that while medically I'm okay to fast, if I'm up for it, I will feel more pains / pressure / discomfort in my abdominal area while fasting and can expect these symptoms for another 2 to 4 months. Is it okay for me to fast, or is this an example of me trying to be more religious than the religion that was spoken of in the last session?
No, you should fast. And if you feel painful and you cannot fast because you need a painkiller, it's really painful. And you're the one who make that judgment. I did an abdominal surgery myself before Ramadan. And, I sometimes have very hard time. This is my first time actually to experience like sickness in Ramadan. Guess what? Alhamdulillah, I've been managing to fast every day. Even my doctor was hesitant about that. Not trying to be super religious or anything like that, but alhamdulillah, I'm managing. And if any day I feel like completely tired and can't do it, I will break my fast. So it is your call.
May Allah grant you shifa and continue to grant you healing. Yours was just a couple of days, or just a few days before Ramadan as well, subhanAllah. The next question is, when mentioning not all shayateen are changed in Ramadan, you mentioned fatwa nights 2 or 3, that wet dreams is from shaitan. I thought it was just a part of puberty. Does that mean that it's bad? Is there anything that can be done or should be done to prevent it?
What is that from puberty?
Wet dreams.
Okay. The Prophet ﷺ said, al-hulum min ash-shaytan, wet dreams from the shaitan, which is a person see a sexual scene that cause person to ejaculate. So that's what the Prophet referred to as shaitan. It also could be from hadith al-nafs as well, and mainly from the shaitan. And also person think about it a lot, and the shaitan can use that. Especially reaching puberty, too much testosterone for men and stuff like that can lead to that. As for the shayateen, not all of them changed in Ramadan. I just want to tell you, remind you what I said, that some of the scholars tried to understand the hadith and said maybe one of the meaning of the hadith could be that the shayateen, not all of them are changed, but the leader of them, because in another narration, maradat shayateen, the leader of the shayateen are changed. Now, I just want to be more accurate about how I was quoting. Yes.
Right. The next question. Okay, well, this is a cheeky one because they're referring to one of our previous topics covered in Ramadan 360, but we'll take this one. Someone is asking for the When Gossip Hurts lecture in the Quran, Surah 24, verse number 32. It makes marriage an obligation for each one of us. If one does not dismiss the idea of getting married, but does not actively look for his spouse, but makes the offer and lets those who ask know that one is interested, is that okay? This is done to avoid interacting with the opposite sex unnecessarily.
You need to read this again, slowly.
Sorry, I talk fast. Someone's asking, does the Quran make marriage an obligation for us? If someone is not actively looking, but they're keeping themselves open, are they sinful for not trying to prioritize marriage? And they're just trying to avoid interacting with the opposite sex unnecessarily.
Marriage can be obligated. Marriage can be highly recommended. Marriage can be permissible. Marriage can be disliked. Marriage can be haram. It depends on the situation. So if a woman married to a man, haram for her to marry another one. If a man would get married and his marriage will cause harm, let's say I have a contagious disease and I marry someone else and I'm going to make that person sick, haram for me to marry that person. Okay, and that sickness can harm them. That's not allowed. Somebody have a bad manners, bad akhlaq, it's not recommended for him to marry or her to marry. So in this case, it's not allowed, it's dislike, because they're bad manners and they will harm the person, he or she. Permissible, a person who married one and want to marry a second one, a man, for example, it's permissible for him. The fuqaha rahimahullah said, and recommended, that's the default rules, that it's highly recommended for everybody to get married. And encouraged to get married. And in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, get married. And Ibn Mas'ud said, if I have only one night left in this life, in this dunya, I will not meet Allah as a single person. I'll make sure that I'm married and I meet Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala as a married person, not a single. And it is wajib if the person, cannot control their desires. Cannot control those, they fall into haram. In this case, marriage is wajib upon them if they have the means, obviously. If they don't have the means, they are not mukallaf on it. They're not, it's not obligated or recommended for them. Because they don't have money, they don't have. Nobody proposed to me. A sister said, nobody proposed to me. It's not my fault. I'm not going to put like an ad in, Greklis. You know, it's
full. Do that, people do that. There's a brother who put an ad somewhere in the papers in the UK. People are that, mashallah, creative.
Yeah. I saw an ad. Somebody was like, he said, I'm a farmer. and I'm looking for a woman with a character, just to help him farm. Yeah, but anyway, going back to the subject, so just in your situation, it just recommended for you to do that.
All right. Yeah. This next question is, if you die in prayer, would you go to Jannah?
What that means?
If you pass away in prayer.
In prayer. Oh, yes. You go to Jannah. It's a good sign, of a good ending, but there's a logic rule. Signs do not necessitate, they don't necessarily do not necessitate what they are signed for. What that means. What's the sign that it was raining outside now? Give me a sign, Hafsa.
Sorry, a sign that what? That's not necessary.
It was raining outside.
Okay.
Give me a sign that it was raining outside.
Oh, there you go. Soccer got it before. The ground is wet.
The ground is wet. That's right. Type. If you go outside and you see the ground is wet, is that necessitates that it was raining?
No.
Don't cheat and look at the answers on the house. She's looking at the answers in the.
Where are the answers? I'm looking at the Q&A form.
Yes. Okay.
Actually, no, I was looking outside too.
No, they're not, they don't necessitate what they are for. So signs are signs. Yes, it's wet. It's a sign that it was raining, cloudy it was, but it doesn't necessarily mean it was raining. So yes, it's a sign for good ending, for going to Jannah, but does not necessarily mean that they are. They might have the prayer, they die in the prayer, but you know what? They might not fulfill their rights towards their relatives, or they took somebody's money, or they were not good businessmen, or like, who knows? You know, so there's other things as well they will be held accountable. But it's a good sign. We hope for them, inshallah, to go to Jannah.
Perfect.
Yes.
Next question is, when praying with or behind an imam, is it necessary to say Ameen after each dua that he makes, or is it sufficient to say it just once at the end?
Every time you say Ameen, it's exactly as if you said that dua. And we've been asked to repeat the dua. So saying it after every time, it is the right thing to do. It's not haram, but it is the best way to do it. And you can do once in the end, it's up to you, but it's better to do Ameen. Because remember when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Jibreel said, distance the one who hear your name and don't give salam salam Rasulullah, he said Ameen. Then he said, distance the one who... So every time you make dua, he said, Ameen. Same thing when the last two verses in Surah Al-Baqarah reverse. Every time there's dua, Jibreel said, Ameen. And the Prophet said, Ameen for it. Yes.
The next question is, if I give sadaqah on behalf of others, will I still retain any reward?
Yes, absolutely. You basically give it on behalf of you and others. So every time you give sadaqah, you should take it as a rule. Anything has to do with money, donations, money, or equal to money like food and stuff like that, and you're donating it, you can join whomever you want. Inshallah, you can join Sheikh Waleed in it. You can say, it's on behalf of me and whoever you want, 100,000, 200, whatever you want. Yes.
I just said a little request there. Smart move, mashallah. The next question is, can Sheikh Waleed please explain how one should make the extra rakat after Imam does the three rakats of Witr if one is planning to pray more at home? For example, do we pray the additional rakat after doing the Taslim with the Imam?
Yeah. After you finish with the Imam and you go home and you feel like, I want to pray again my another Witr, you can stand up, pray just one rakat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, salamu alaikum, that's all. Then you pray two, then you pray another witr. Okay. That's what Ibn Mas'ud did and other Sahaba did.
Sorry, actually, good point on the previous question, Sheikh. So Manila was saying layering our attentions when giving zakat. Is zakat and sadaqah are different, right? Can you layer your attentions?
Yeah. Your intention for zakat, I'm talking about general donation, not zakat. I mean, if you want to give zakat on my behalf, you're welcome. I'll let you know how much is that. It's also a lot, but that's a different. That's not sharing intention. Not much, by the way, but just in case.
I was going to make a joke, but I'm not. Afifa mentioned as well. So if I buy something in a food sale, for example, for charity, do I still get the reward if I give sadaqah? Is that type of context? Does it give you sadaqah reward?
Inshallah, yes.
Perfect. The next question is, can one pray Qiyam al-Layl and do Laylatul Qadr when a woman is on her period to get the rewards of the last 10 nights?
But how she do that when she is in her period? She cannot pray. But what she can stand up and make dua and dhikr and read Quran and maybe prepare suhoor for people in the masjid and send it to the masjid. All these are great deeds, good deeds, give charity, sadaqah in that night. Okay, so all this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for tremendously. And also you get the reward of Qiyam al-Layl because you're excused not to pray.
Sounds good. And Ziba's asking, can she prostrate and make dua in that state as well?
I mean, yeah, there is a khilaf between the scholars about, can you make dua in sujood, like outside the salah? You just make sujood and you make dua. There is a debate with you about the permissibility of this. Many of scholars say it's allowed, but many also said it's not. And I lean towards the opinion it's not, because it's never reported in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though I understand it was done by so many scholars, so many ulama, over, I will not say it's bid'ah or anything like that. I because of the amount of people that reported that they did that. But I would say at least it's not from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best way, if you want to make dua, is just to raise your hand like this and you pray.
The next question is, if it's already prayer time and my menstruation starts, but I hadn't prayed, do I have to make up that prayer after the menstruation? I'll stop that. There's a second part to the question.
Okay. There is two opinions among the scholars, or three opinions among the scholars in regard to this. So let's say Dhuhr came. Okay. And 30 minutes after Dhuhr came, the time started. You got your period. What you should do. The first opinion said you pray Dhuhr after you finish your period. The second opinion, there is nothing obligatory on you. You can, because Salat al Dhuhr is not wajib yet. They said it became wajib. You have to pray Dhuhr when? If your period came, how long it takes you to pray one rak'ah? 1 minute? Like 20 seconds? 30 seconds? Okay. The last 30 seconds in the day, the last 30 seconds in the Dhuhr time, between Dhuhr and Asr, how long it takes to take you four rak'ah? Like 2 minutes? You see that end of the time? The end of the time. If your period came there and you did not pray yet, like you planning to pray in the last minute, because he said that's last period of time, that's when Salat al-Dhuhr became obligatory in you before the Asr end. If you got your period that time, that means you have to pray. But I mean, nobody really like that. So according to this opinion, there is no prayer on you because Salat al-Dhuhr will not be a wajib yet on you. The third opinion, that you have to pray Dhuhr and Asr when you finish. Because Dhuhr and Asr, they consider this as one time. And that's an opinion among the Hanabila. And if you do that in a Maghrib, it means Maghrib and Aisha, you have to pray. And the strongest opinion, wallahu a'lam, to me is that there is no salah in you. Yes.
Perfect. Jazakallah khair. That was an informative question and answer. Jazakallah khair. The next question is, how do you pray Qiyam al-Layl in the last 10 nights? What time do you pray? How many rak'ahs do you pray? What is the etiquette of Qiyam al-Layl?
Any time in the night. Doesn't matter, beginning, middle, and the end. All of the above, some in the beginning, some in the middle, some in the night. And you pray two rak'ah, two rak'ah, two rak'ah, two rak'ah, and you end with one. And that doesn't matter what's the number. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not pray more than 11. But he did not forbade other people or to pray more than 11. He said, Salatul Layl Matna Matna, the prayer in the night, two and two. He kept it open, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah.
The next question is, if I am to give, say, $100 in zakah, is it better to give to just one person or to give $10 or $20 to several people?
It's better to make people sufficient. I mean, $10 is not going to do anything. You know, to give somebody $100 is not going to make anything. Give them what can make them sufficient so they can pay the rent, they can take care of their bills, they can cover school expenses, stuff like that. Can Umar إذا أعطى أغنى, when Umar gives, he makes people rich, so they don't come back again for sadaqah. It's much better to help one person stand on his feet and his family so he never asks for food again, or he never asks for money again, than to keep him coming back, coming back, coming back, coming back.
The next question is, as a housewife, when I'm cooking and taking care of my family in and out of Ramadan, can I get the reward of feeding people, like in the hadith when we are told to spread the salam and feed people and pray where others are sleeping, so when others are sleeping? I feel bad that due to my lack of stamina, I can't do many extra things in Ramadan other than fasting, reading more Quran than my normal, and a small amount of nawafil at Isha.
Where is sister from?
I don't know if I have a location for her.
Oh, I thought she's in Houston. I'm going to send some to sister, I want to tell you, if you have the intention for that, yes, you get the same reward and more because you're doing this for your family. Qala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the food that you put in your spouse, your wife's mouth is a sadaqah. So there's no doubt that this is a great deal to make them food and to take care of them. And I heard one of the mashaykh recently, I don't agree with his statement, but just to show you, he was saying it's even better than praying and reward. I don't agree with saying better, but at least you see some scholar even consider it, like, because it's one of the great deeds to take care of your family. May Allah accept from you. But Yani, with this being said, try to make extra food and donate it. Try to pray a little bit. So don't leave Yani the other act of worship as well.
Beautiful. The next question is, can we say the dua, Allahumma inna kafu wa tuhibbu al'afwa fa'fu anni, after the tashahud, but before the taslim and fard salah?
Yeah, after tashahud and before salam is the best time to make dua in the salah. There's two times, the best two times in salah to make dua, one sujood and after tashahud. And that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, after tashahud, increase your prayers. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. He encouraged us to do that. It's so rewarding. So make sure that you do that. And you say, in all the time, in ruku and sujood, in tashahud, after salah, while you're walking, getting into the car. And you start from asr. Yes.
So the person asked about Fard Salah. Someone's asking in the chat, could we do it in our own language too? Before the scene?
The dua, yes, you can do any language.
Perfect. The next question is, does Zakat al-Fitr need to be given in food rather than money? If yes, how can I fulfill if I can't provide food directly?
It's best to give it in that form, but also you can give the what is equal to it. It is fine to give it to what is equal to it. So if it is like $15, you can give the faqir. And that's the position of so many scholars. It's like, not only Abu Hanifa, it's also Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. Also Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, Sufyan al-Thawri, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, and many great imams in Islam, they said the same thing. Because the point here is to make the faqir happy and sufficient. So you can do that.
The next question.
Can give them also food that they can take. Like you can give them, for example, there's many ways people can get the rice and still people appreciate something like that to be be giving to them. Some people get gift cards to Sam's Club or to like some of these store departments, or go buy your own, stuff like that.
Beautiful. The next question is the reward for sitting and making dhikr after your fajr till sunrise in the masjid the same for women at home? Can we move to the sofa, or do we have to be sitting in the place of prayer?
The vicinity of the area of the prayer. Yani, as long as you stay in dhikr until the sun, that's the point, to be staying in dhikr and making dhikr until the sunrise. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, was asked, would that apply to women and sick people at home? He said, yes.
Perfect. The next question is, if I pay my zakat throughout the year and I overpay during Ramadan, just in case there have been any changes, is this okay?
Yes, giving more, inshallah, will be a form of sadaqah and charity.
Perfect. The next question is, what is the best way to achieve the reward of Laylatul Qadr if you are working or have some other commitments that you can't postpone during the last 10 nights and you can't stay awake during the whole night?
You don't have to stay the whole night. You don't have to. You just do the Taraweeh in the beginning of the day. People working, people have exams. The Taraweeh in the beginning of the night, and maybe you wake up a little bit before suhoor and make some dua and dhikr as you get to your suhoor. Alhamdulillah, give sadaqah, charity. And in this regard, I want to say, if Hafsa can put the link, we have a program where every night it's automated that you can donate to Al Maghrib every night. Like you register, you put the amount that you want, and it will basically charge you, let's say you want to put 500 every night, or 100 every night, or 1,000 every night, whatever you want to put, $10 every night, and it will take $10 every night from you, or $100 every night. And Al-Maghrib, alhamdulillah, one of the organization that, not just because I'm part of it, so I know what it is. And it's a non-profit organization. I don't get percentage. I don't get paid for saying that. But what I get, I'll tell you, reward, ajr. Al-Maghrib is a sadaqah jariyah, is a continuous charity. And a continuous charity is much better than any, like many other area of sadaqah jariyah, because this is about knowledge and distributing knowledge. So, and that knowledge continues and grows. So I learned this, I share this, and I share that, I share that. So can you imagine whoever going to Al-Maghrib and donating to Al-Maghrib, get the ajr of everything that I'm teaching right now, and my other colleagues as well. Whatever goodness that we bring as a team, Hafsan, all the brothers and sisters work with Al-Maghrib. You are part of that khair. So definitely I will highly recommend everybody to give to Al-Maghrib and to be part of the Sadaqah Jari. And there's many areas as well. Make sure that you support your local masjid, your local community, your family members. But that's one thing that you can do every night in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, to do that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you, Ya Rabbi.
Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. I dropped the regular donation link, alamaalmaghrib.org/donate. The daily link is not ready just yet. We're just changing it a little bit, but inshallah, I will share that later with you guys on Telegram. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh, for that reminder as well for us. The next question.
I will share it. Just can you hold?
Okay. I think they're just changing something, or they're just changing the link right now. At least that's what they have just been informed. Sheikh, I think we lost. Oh, no, I see you.
Sheikh, yeah, I'm here.
All right, and while the Sheikh pulls that up, just a quick reminder, I know there's a couple more questions that came through in the chat. Please do submit your questions to the Q&A form. That way we can make sure it's saved. And then if we don't
get it.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Continue.
I was just saying, so please make sure you submit them to the form. We can get them to the next session if we don't get it this one. But I have one question I'll take. Sorry, Sheikh.
I send you a link in your WhatsApp.
Okay. Oh, jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Thank you so much. This might be updated a little bit later, but right now it's active, alhamdulillah. So I'll share that in the chat. And I'll share the updated link as well. This is for you guys to be able to automate your giving so that if you want to catch it in the last 10 nights and you're worried that you might forget a certain night, you can pick the amount, you can actually even pick the number of people that you want to give for. So if you have five family members and you want to do $5 for each person in your household, then you can do that as well. Alhamdulillah. And that's there, thefeelingblessed.org/GD/Al-Maghrib. And for those on socials, hopefully you caught that as well. We'll drop that in the chat. The next question as well. Bismillah is, when listening to Quran/classes via AirPods, are we allowed to go to the bathroom, for example, to wash my child or to help them in the bathroom? I don't want to miss the live class even for a few minutes.
Yes, as long as you don't take us to the toilet seat.
If they're helping the child wash up in the toilet, would that be applicable?
I mean, they have the thing, they can keep it like on a speaker outside to listen to it while they're helping the kids. Just a few seconds, but like not while you going to relieve yourself and stuff like that. You can put it outside to listen to it, but don't take it inside. Some of the ulama, when they used to go to the bathroom, they let the students read from outside the bathroom while they are in the bathroom because they don't have time. So it's like you can do that. But if it's Quran, I will avoid it. But if it's classes and stuff like that, it's okay.
Perfect. Subhanallah, good advice. The next question, or you can take your AirPods out too. You could just pop them out while you're thing and then pop them right back in. That way you don't have to stress about it. The next is, we have refugees in our area. Is it better to give my zakat to them rather than...
I just like us to have like, I have a respect for the ilm and the knowledge. So there's also another meaning behind it. I wouldn't do that. Like, just hold on to for a few seconds and finish whatever you want to do. And after that, you go back to it.
The next question is, we have refugees in our area. Is it better to give my zakat to them rather than other large organizations?
I mean, all good. You don't have to choose this or that. You can divide your thing. But if you have like locally, refugees who are in a very bad shape, they have rights more than anyone who lives far away. But not every refugee can categorize as a poor or a miskin or deserves a cat. Just make sure that some of these refugees, mashallah, they do well for themselves too. Start a business and stuff like that. So just double check. Not just because refugee is not a category. The category is poor, miskin, in debt, and so forth.
The next question is, can we recite the Surah Al-Fatiha when the Imam recites it out loud, or should we just listen to it?
You should, behind the Imam, you should read it with the Imam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, are you reading with me? They said, yes. He said, don't read while I'm reading, except Surah Al-Fatiha. So the only time you can read Surah Al-Fatiha with the behind the Prophet, but any other surah, you're not allowed. Yes.
Next question is, can zakat be used to sponsor the iftar in a masjid?
No.
Okay. The next question is, sorry, Sheikh, I'm trying to get through as many as I can, so I'm just going to speed around it. Next is, can one pay zakat on money one is owed but is yet to receive? How about instances when the whole money is not paid back in full? How does one calculate the zakat on it?
Al-Fuqaha rahimahullah said, if the money that... you have lent to people, so you owe them the money. If that person is rich and you know 100% he will pay you back, you give zakat in that amount. Okay? And if you doubt, I'm not sure, I don't know how things can go, there is no zakat until you receive it. And when you receive it, you give zakat of it right away, like 2.5% of it. Okay. And so these are the two famous opinions. I lean more towards the second one, unless it is 100%, like you know that this is guaranteed to be paid back. Like it's a bank who paying you back. It's an organization or like something that you know you're going to get paid back. You know, it's like a big institute. Not like an individual or like somebody, he's a good brother. I'm not sure because even this good brother, can things happen to him and so on. You wait until you receive it in this case and you pay the zakat. Yes.
The next one, I think I started this question, but maybe didn't finish it. Let me know if it's a repeat, Sheikh. The question is, what is the best way to achieve reward of Laylatul Qadr if you're working or have some other commitments that you can't postpone during the last 10 nights and you can't stay awake during the entire night?
Yeah, I answered this one.
Okay, so we're clarifying. The next question is, I'm losing my blue. Someone's asking, I have purchased some essential oils in bulk to get a better price. Primarily, it is for personal use and gifting. However, if someone needs it, I sell it to them for my cost price and do not make any profit. Rather, I intend by that to do a good deed so that they get a better price because I bought it in bulk. Do I owe zakat on this inventory, quote unquote?
So what she does with the inventory?
I think so. She keeps it on hand. She bought a lot so that she could have it on hand for like a lower price. But if someone else wants it or they want to purchase it, she gives it to them for her selling price, like for how much she paid for it, basically, so they get a better price.
Okay, so it's for sale. So you sell it whenever there is like offered or someone interested. So in this case, you see this inventory, how much it's worth in the day of your zakat. If it's worth $100,000, you give zakat on it. So basically you see how much it's worth and you see that amount, you add it to the other money that you have and the total, if it is, then you solve the zakat, you give basically 2.5% of it.
Okay, but she has to, it's mixed intention because she's got it for personal use as well. And if someone requests it, then she gives it to them. Does that make it confusing or is it still the same?
Personal use does not count. I'm talking about the one that you are offering for sale. Okay. So let's say you're offering for sale, but you're using it until somebody buys it. It's still for sale.
Okay.
And my advice to decide exactly, it's person. It's for sale.
The next question, this was asked and addressed in the chat as well. Jazakallah khair to those who've been attending these sessions, I can tell, who have been helping out those who are asking questions here and there in the chat, if the question has been answered. Just to clarify though, for the person who did ask, if I'm fasting while traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast, then can I break my fast when I reach there or should I wait until West Coast Maghrib time?
No, you break your fast when the sun goes down, no matter where you are. So when the sun goes down, you break your fast. So if you're on the West Coast and you travel to the East Coast, that means you're saving time. So you're going to make a far much earlier than West Coast. When the sun goes down, you make your far.
Beautiful. That's an easy response. That makes it easy to clear. The next question is, do I have to pay zakat each year on the same time? Can I send money to a different country early so that it can be distributed on that exact date? And what if I forget the day that I went below Nisab? Can I send the same exact day if I went below Nisab but I don't remember?
No, you have to decide on a day for your zakat so you can organize yourself. So we can know what exactly, because the stocks can be different from one day to another. From one week to another. You can't just plague, oh, every week is different. No, this is like wajib on you. So the day of your zakat has to be decided. It's Ramadan 20, Ramadan 21st. So I have to go 21st and look how much this gold worth, because gold goes up and down. How much this stock's worth, how much this merchandise worth at that day. So that's how you have to be very clear about when is your zakat day is, because that's where the day you're going to decide how much it is. Okay. And you can give the zakat early if you want. That's fine. You know, you can give zakat, part of your zakat or all your zakat earlier. That's fine. You know, you can say, hey, I'm giving this like $10,000 now because there's an urgent need in Pakistan, for example, or in Turkey or in Syria. Refugees and stuff like that. And I keep in mind that I gave already 10,000. So on the day of my zakat, come and calculate my zakat's 15,000. Okay, so there's 5,000 left and so forth.
The next question is, if a woman makes ghusl sometime during the day, in the daytime of Ramadan, does she fast for the rest of the day?
If she finished her period, and take the shower, yes, she cannot eat until the end of the day.
Okay, so she's midway through the day and she's already missed her sahur, time. She's still fasting.
Yeah, but it doesn't count as a fasting. But she should not eat or drink out of, because now she's not in her period and she is in Ramadan. Out of the respect for the time, she cannot eat or drink. But if she has her period, she can eat and drink. But if she's no period, no, she stopped. But that doesn't count as a day.
Okay, perfect. Wafa, yes, Sami has mentioned the question you've asked in the chat has been answered. The next question is, so there's a lot of off-topic questions I'm trying to figure out, because now
that's fine, yeah.
Okay, Sheikh. All right. So if you allow it, then, because I have about, like, I think 94 off-topic questions so far. Perfect. The next question is, actually, this one can be relevant. Someone's asking, one of my friends is divorced, but she needs to talk and text with her ex-husband regarding kids' issues almost every day. She's worried if her fasting will get canceled for talking or texting with her ex-husband while she was fasting.
No, it will not, as long as the text messaging and the talking is appropriate talk. Yes.
The next question is, what are different ways of giving da'wah in a non-public way? I feel like it's harder to give da'wah if you don't have some type of platform.
I mean, da'wah is to everyone. You give da'wah to your parents, to your children, to your spouse. Da'wah means you invite people to do something good. So, and Shafi, rahimahullah, said that you can do da'wah without talking. He said, how? He said, through your actions and manners and your conduct. You know, so da'wah also can be through supporting somebody giving da'wah. You know what? I don't know. I'm not very accurate in da'wah, but you know what? I can sponsor a class in a Maghrib Institute. I can sponsor an online class. I can sponsor Sheikh Waleed's next class in England. Okay. I can sponsor Sheikh Waleed's class in Minnesota. How much that costs the Maghrib? I'll pay for it. You know, or Sheikh Ammar, okay, or Sheikh Sulaiman Hani, stuff like that. That's da'wah, that's giving da'wah, but not necessarily directly. And if you want directly, you can. Today, social media is, you know, just say nice things on some of these platforms, you get like 2,000 likes instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so forth. So alhamdulillah, there is a lot of means and ways to give da'wah today. Da'wah is not only to non-Muslims, but to everybody. Yes.
You know what, Sheikh, I know it sounds like you're joking, but actually, subhanAllah, I remember just recently we had a class in Australia and somebody money towards getting everybody 50% off the class. And they're like, I'll pay 50% off of every ticket that someone purchases. So that's like, there's very tangible ways that you can make deen and knowledge accessible to people. Even just with Maghrib, we have upcoming a new scholarship system that's going to be, I think you know about it, you know, 50% for everyone who's in need, who is a revert, a single mother, a student. And that's something that's been in demand because we noticed those were the categories. We had so many thousands of people requesting scholarships in those categories. So it's people who donate towards this fund or towards samagrib.org/donate, that's where it goes directly into. So yeah, you're giving da'wah because you're making knowledge easy for people and you're changing people's lives through that, subhanAllah. So I know I tease you sometimes, Sheikh, because your plugs are too clean, but it's true in it, truth in it. The next question, and I think we'll end with this because we are just at the hour. And this is a heavier question, but I'm glad that someone asked it, is what is the cure for despair? As we get older and we've experienced more setbacks in life, how do we continue to ask Allah for blessings or to answer du'as with the same conviction and surety that we had when we were younger?
I mean, the mu'min, the older he gets, the sweetest, the sweeter and more good become. A mu'min is like palm tree. You know what's the sweetest palm tree? The oldest one. Young one is not sweet, does not produce sweet dates. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the mu'min is like the palm tree. The older it gets, the better it gets. You know? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who get old and grow gray hair in Islam. And those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them goodness and protections and reward. And just being committed to be a Muslim and hold into Islam for 50 years, 60 years, since 70 years. It's different than someone holding into Islam for the last 20 years of their life. You know, it's much harder when you get older and it is things like not easy, but you know, still you're holding into your deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, proud of you. How can you be in despair when you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, children of Adam, if you come with sins as much as the size of the earth, as much as the weight of the earth, sins that if you put the record, if you come with sins, the record of it, like from the heaven, from the earth all the way to the sky, to the heaven. Can you imagine the record of your bad deeds that much, that heavy, huge in that size? The whole entire earth, that will boom in your left sides of the scale, drop. But Allah says, ثُمَّ لَقِيتَنِي لَا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا. Then you meet me while you don't associate anyone with me. You don't worship other than me. You didn't pray for other than me. لَقِيتُكَ بِقُرَابِهَا مَغْفِرَةً. I will meet you with equal to that amount of sins, forgiveness. How can you be despaired with a God like that? How can you be despaired with a God who's saying to you, if you walk to me, I will run to you? How can you be despaired with a God who's telling you, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, that I will, if you count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, you'll not count it. And he continue to bless you, will continue give you. How can you be despair from a God? You know, for God's sake, I was so happy. I just did a fundraising for an organization that they're doing a phenomenal job in Pakistan. It's about schooling, providing school called Citizen Foundation. The way they present me a gift, it was so well organized, and like the gift bag, and the, like it has like my name and like a little bit of watch and stuff like that. So like thoughtful, you know. So wow, this is so nice. You know, somebody that day had given me a gift and give a gift to my daughter or something like that. So wow, he thinking of my daughter. And somebody give a gift and give me something for my cat, for my daughter's cat. I was like, wow, it makes even my cat, he's thinking about my cat. So it makes you feel so special, that's right. That's right. If somebody think about it too that much, it makes you feel so special. I'm sure some of you guys experience some of that. Do you know what Allah says in the Quran? Allah tells us in the Quran that He made the earth and He made the whole universe and He made the heavens and and these gardens and these beautiful trees, beautiful rivers. Have you guys traveled in the world or just Google how beautiful this earth is and all these beautiful islands and all this? Do you know why Allah created all this for you? Not only, He said, mata'an lakum, so you enjoy it. Not only you, and also your cattle and your animals. Yeah, and even He's spoiling you and your animals. Is this the type of God that you despair from? Is this the God that you lose hope in? This is the type of God that who is every night open His doors to welcome you. A God that He's not waiting for you to be brought up to Him. He comes down every night. Every night. To welcome you. Is this a type of a God that you lose hope in? Allah, He knows. If you truly know Allah, you will be so happy. As Sufyan said, I will never choose my parents over Allah to be my judge, because I know Allah is more merciful than my parents. His parents were not mean. He loved him to death. But the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah have more mercy towards you than this woman towards her infant, her baby. Hold into your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hold into your iman and expect nothing but goodness from him. Do your best and leave the rest for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sisters and brothers, wallahi, it wasn't just the hope that we have and the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, generosity and mercy and forgiveness that I have in my heart and we have in our heart towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not make it. But it is that would give us so, make us so strong that we know how much He is subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgiving, appreciative, thankful, kind, nice, gentle, merciful, forbearing, wise, and the most merciful, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower us with His mercy and accept from all of us our good deeds and help us in these last 10 nights. And bless Hafsa and all the brothers and sisters who work and volunteer for Maghrib. Allahumma ameen.
Ameen, ya Rabbi Alameen. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. That was such a beautiful, beautiful end to the session. SubhanAllah, Jazakallah khair for that reassurance. And I think getting this in that mindset, SubhanAllah, of gratitude and thankfulness to Allah SWT right before the last 10 nights again kick off or are continuing, inshallah, for many of us. May Allah accept from you. Is there anything that you want to leave us with, inshallah, before we close off? I know we've covered so much, alhamdulillah, in this session. We're about to open up another Ramadan 360 session in about 20 minutes. Any last reminders for us to just keep in mind for the last 10 nights?
I just did. I'm just looking forward to see you guys again next week.
Inshallah.
This week,
the next inshallah. Inshallah ta'ala. We look forward to it as well. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. I won't do too much talking now because I know you guys have about 20 minutes before we jump on to the next session. So inshallah, we'll see you then. That was Sheikh Waleed Bisyuni, our president at Al Maghrib Institute. MashaAllah, he teaches a lot of the central courses that I know there was a lot of questions that were asked on divorce, on marriage, on partners, on raising children and all that kind of stuff that I didn't even get a chance to ask because I didn't get into all the off-topic ones as much. But if you do have important questions that you want to have addressed, sometimes this platform, our goal is to get as many quantity covered as and helpful as quickly as we can during these essential and these blessed days. But I highly encourage you guys to continue your journey learning from him. He teaches classes on all these topics in depth, alhamdulillah. And I hope that you guys get a chance to benefit throughout the year. Inshallah, we'll see you guys in 20 minutes for Ramadan 360, day number 20 in earnest. Jazakumul khair to everyone who's been participating and all those who asked those amazing questions. And we will have another fatwa night next Tuesday, the final one of Ramadan, same time, same place. Inshallah, we'll see you then. For now, take care. Assalamu alaikum.